So a divided country, a fear of instability all around them, and a powerful, now more powerful, one-man ruler promising to keep all the chaos at bay. Have the Turkish people chosen stability over liberal democracy, and are they willing to compromise human rights to stay with President Erdogan? Arrests and tortures have increased under this president, as well as clamping down on the media. Medical doctors have even been targeted by the regime, which has tightened its grip on Turkish citizens. Dr. Shevdem Korur Fincanci is president of the Human Rights Foundation of Turkey under Erdogan's presidency. She's faced terror-related charges for taking part last year in a free speech campaign for a now-defunct anti-government newspaper. She joins me in the studio with Dr. Vincent Iacopino, the medical director at Physicians for Human Rights. Welcome to both of you.
Hello.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Does Erdogan get a free hand as far as human rights are concerned? Has he already been given a free hand? Basically up until now, doctor?
No government gets a free hand, and especially with a divided vote like this, I think it's obvious that human rights are even more important in that circumstance. The purpose of human rights is to protect the individual and, you know, the dignity of everyone, equality before the law. And when you have a divided country, rights should be the guide to protect those who are not well represented.
But what's the accountability here? I mean, if a country does vote essentially a dictatorship, who's to wave the flag for human rights in Turkey today?
Human rights defenders, of course. It has always been like that because a human rights defender cannot step down from defending the human rights in the country. And we have a long history, actually. When I consider about that, it's more than 30 years that we struggle just to eradicate torture and human rights violations and just build the procedural safeguards for the country, for the human beings in the country and the society.
What's the leverage with Erdogan, do you think?
Of course, the first discussion was about the death penalty. So what do the society demand in this sense? I'm hopeful about the society and I am hopeful about the future because it doesn't mean that Turkey would be worse, because when you look at the votes, the former votes in the country, his votes are getting less and less. Mm. So it is something hopeful. 51 is not much, and no one can just tell that his ways are justified.
Dr. Iacopino, when you think about the Turkish citizen looking around the borders of that nation and seeing the brutality and torture and horrific atrocities taking place in Syria, the refugee crisis that's overrunning Turkey, violence elsewhere in the region, Libya, for instance, is there any sympathy for Turks saying, you know, enough already? I'll take this demon versus the demons that are all around us.
Yeah, I think so. People think about their security economically and, you know, just the danger that's presented by the conflicts nearby Turkey. And that's understandable, but it can be a short-sighted view as well, because when one ignores human rights and allows for nationalism to take hold, that comes back to hurt people. And you can see this by what Shebnem is saying and the erosion of the support for Erdogan. And to go back to your previous question about leverage, the leverage really is in the people and the people having the awareness of what is in their best interests. It's not always what's in the short term, such as enough refugees for right now, to go the way of consolidating power and to have a nationalistic approach will hurt people. It erodes the freedoms that they have, their civil rights, and their ability to criticize the government, as Shebnem well knows. She's been in jail already for that.
This was also a vote to stand up to Europe, to basically say, get out of our business. Do you think Erdogan can go it alone in the region and keep things from coming completely apart, Shebnem?
It is impossible, because we know that there are some needs for international relations. A country cannot exist alone. So we depend on each other. the humanity needs each other, and they also need the other countries. For example, after some criticism for European countries, then they have to step back and just discuss other issues, because then they wouldn't have the economic relationship, for example, which would be the essential issue for their existence. So they can't continue their existence in this way. Of course, we have to work together with all the humanity, and the human rights defenders has a crucial role in all these justification process. We can't justify the situation in the country, and we have to try and tell everybody about human rights violations, about the refugee crisis, about the economic crisis also, which is on the door for Turkey.
Let's say I'm a young 18, 19-year-old who, using the internet, knows about the freedoms and places where human rights violations aren't the rule. If they are outspoken against what's happening in Turkey, what is their future? Arrest and torture? And talk to me about what the danger would be for someone like that.
Of course, in the near future, maybe it would be arrest or torture for sure. But we have to think about the future of the country. So I'm sure that everybody knows that at the end, human rights defenders would defend their rights and would be together with these people who are arrested or tortured. The people know now. There is more awareness than in the past. For example, in 1990s, they didn't know how to defend their rights or how to find the organizations who can defend the rights of these people. But now with 18, 19-year-old young person, for example, following the social media, they very well know about everything. The young people are the future of the country. The problem is the elder who only have the means of TV set and their rooms, not knowing anything about the free media and the discussions going on in the country.
Is the future a battle between those young people with a more enlightened outlook, with the digital access to the rest of the world, and this repressive seeming government?
Yes, I think to some extent it is. And the choice comes down to this. Do you do something about it, or do you become a witness to it, a bystander to inhumanity and a ruthless display of power? I think everyone faces this choice, not just people who might live in Turkey, but people in the international community. We're all in this together, and our future, we have a common future. We've been working together for more than 20 years. And we know that when we combine our forces, whether they're non-governmental organizations or civil societies, that we do have the power to oppose these regimes, that change is possible. Look at South Africa, look at Ireland, and the changes that have happened over time. So I would encourage 18-year-olds in Turkey and in the United States to use that power and not to be witnesses to this kind of abuse of human dignity.
Dr. Vincent Iacopino is Medical Director at Physicians for Human Rights, and Dr. Sebnem Korur Fincanci is President of the Human Rights Foundation of Turkey. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks.